Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Simple Down podcast. Here we like to talk about things that help us simplify our lives from within. And today we'll talk about the difference between learning how to live and actually living. Now, imagine scenario A. You're in your last year of high school and no day passes by without someone pestering you about your future. Future, they say. Well, you're so young and are just enjoying your final school year without much thought about some future. I feel like these will be some of the most enjoyable years to remember, so it's important to you to be present and experience this time fully. Yet everyone is trying to shift your focus outside of what's actually happening. Future, what about it? It's not here yet, and you want to think about it once you move forward and actually have some mental space to figure out what it is you like to do next. But as days go by and the outside pressure grows stronger, now you start receiving snarky and disappointing comments. You're irresponsible, lazy, shallow, and, well, dumb. Comments that make you believe that you will not be able to be happy or even survive if you don't just suddenly realize what you'll do next now. You start to trust the judgment of other people and become anxious about your own life. Oh my God, what will happen if I'm not able to figure it out now? I'm doomed. I need to decide right now. Whatever it'll be, I need to decide. And so you do decide. Or whatever feels right at that moment. You decide to go to university that is close by and that some of your friends are going to as well. And study communications. How about that? Because it just looked cool enough to you for a thing that also seems easy enough to pass. But the trick here was that in that moment, your mind was just under the cloud of outside influence and fear. So whatever felt right was probably simply what would relieve the pressure without, you know, the least amount of sacrifice or pain or whatever, and what would satisfy the judges. A few years later, you find yourself lost, directionless, confused, disappointed, and angry, at least internally. You've been trying hard to figure out how to live properly, like how to feel good in your life, listening to experts, to gurus, to professors, everyone and anyone on the outside. However, it is highly likely that you will not be able to identify the origin and the reason behind the anger within you, or even recognize that it exists and is the thing causing you to feel like this. You will continue to feel fundamentally confused, empty, and grow sicker as the years pass by. Now, imagine scenario B. You're also in your last year of high school, and you're also unsure of what your next steps will be, but you want to enjoy where you are right now. In this scenario, you live on a higher realm of Earth. People here have evolved past harmful, limiting fear and encouraged the youth to express themselves authentically without any timelines or socially approved courses of action. Who cares, you know? They encourage the youth to live their lives fully with trials and errors that give life depth. So there's no pressure or expectation on you to decide on important things when you're not ready yet. There's no universal fear of failure. On this realm, you're free to trust your timing, to make your mistakes, to build understanding and wisdom. In other words, you're never separated from your inner being and you remain intact and are free to live that way. In other words, you don't need anyone to teach you how to live your life because you just live by trusting your own process and allowing it to lead you wherever you need to go. In this scenario, higher education is not even something young people desire to acquire because it's all too theoretical. You know, who cares? I can read the book, whatever. You realize that you want to experience yourself out in the real world by building a business. Throughout the following years, you learn to deal with unexpected events, you know, with lots of forms of management. Learn to fail as well as succeed and build a deep understanding of your industry based on your observations and experiences. Eventually, you are able to create robust offerings that highly benefit the lives of people by simply following your interests and having no fear, shame, or judgment cloud your choices and decisions. You eventually even create an apprenticeship where you provide a space for other people to grow through real life experience too. You don't tell them the things you did and the ways you used to do them, but allow them to figure it out on their own, find their own ways of doing things in a space full of encouragement, connection, and purpose. Eventually, you feel fulfilled and connected to others through service, purpose, and trust. All because you were given the space and freedom to live as you are. What differences do we see in these scenarios? We see a huge difference between the worlds, right? Different societies that lead to different realities. But one core difference we can pinpoint is people living their own life. And this concept often has negative assumptions surrounding it. Assumptions that want to relate living your own life to selfishness, which is a major sin in a world that lives in fear and dependency on the tribes sticking together like gum. And it's worth noting that dependency in this world comes before communion. So, you know, it's like a fake sense of communion a little bit. I'd like to rebrand living your own life into freedom. But freedom for everyone, you know, freedom that comes from not feeling like one has to oversee and control anyone but themselves. And freedom for the individual because they're free from things outside their control, and a freedom for others because they're not subject to unproductive pressure and control that the individual could create for them. If we explore this even a bit further, if we dig in, building deeper awareness of yourself and your life by living your life can allow you to enjoy being in a community more without expectations put onto others. You could connect to them as they are, you know? Crazy, while removing the pressures from yourself as well. So the way I see it, it is in no way selfish, but creates more genuine connections, elevates the lives of individuals, and nourishes a greater sense of communion. If you're into these kind of thoughts, by the way, I highly recommend you check out the book called The Courage to be Disliked. That is based on the principles of Adlerian psychology and especially the idea of individual tasks that we all have. But let's not get too far from our scenarios, okay? Now, some of you may be thinking like, what the hell? Who cares about the perfect world? Why didn't you like give a realistic scenario B or something? You know, like imagine a scenario B where you say no to the expectations and you run away from home, oh my Juliet, or something. I chose the way I did because it is very good to understand that there is no way for us to control what people expect from us. And there is no way for us to control many circumstances that are not even in our control. You know, it might be even more unrealistic for a lot of us compared to a utopian world, more unrealistic to stand up to the people in our lives, especially at a young age. So eliminating the pressure could likely not even be a possibility, you know, crazy, right? What we can control is only our own awareness of how that pressure and those expectations affect us. You know, I feel the anger. And then we deal with it. We don't let it eat us up. Awareness is key to living more authentically, because you start to differentiate where your being ends and others' influence begins. So, you know, there might be a lot of people who think, oh, I'm just an angry person. Probably you're not. It's just what the influence did to you, but you were not aware. So now it's really hard for you to like circle back to whatever was before that. That awareness could help you remain rooted in yourself until you can start making choices that are much more aligned with your true being. For example, if you are forced to decide on your future, accept that force if you need to, but always know that there's more to you and that you can change your direction in the future and that you should keep your eyes open for that direction. You know, still invest in yourself, still explore your interests, despite of currently being stuck in a scenario that is not in perfect alignment for you, because that's also life. Our misalignment is also part of our alignment, you know. So I chose this unrealistic utopian scenario B to not tell you how to live, because I don't want that, and because your life will have too many nuances for anyone to grasp it anyway, but to share a vision instead of how things could be if we only lived our own lives, because you know who can make that vision a reality over time. It's people who remain rooted in themselves and maintain the awareness of their own soul. But I gotta say, this seems to be a misunderstood concept in today's society, because as soon as I looked up a couple of videos on the side of, I don't know, whatever it was, spirituality, life contemplations, something, now I am endlessly bombarded with self-help content. How to become X. I did X routine for a month and got this. 6 habits that made me X, etc., etc., etc. Like, all of these come with a prepackaged plan or something for you to mimic their journey. It's a good example for what I mentioned in the title, a naive simplification of life. Like, here, take this, live better, yay. Giving quick and tested formulas to people who live in scenario A. You know, people who feel fundamentally lost and confused. So they're like, okay, maybe this will fix my life. And you know, those people who are giving it away are using it, you know, using, you get it. Mm-hmm. Even if we face similar or absolutely identical trials in our life as the creators of such content, it is no sign that their advice should be taken seriously. And it might seem counterintuitive, but that's only because we grow up in a society that's terrified of failing. So, you know this, we seek the truth, the answer, and forget that life, like truth, is in the nuances. You know, the immeasurable layers to your life, and nuances are rarely ever even noticed. And furthermore, they change all the time. So whatever the creator lists as their 6 things to success does not include the billions of nuances running in the back end. Why? Because, well, 99.9999%, they themselves are not aware of them. Something I recently heard that really resonated and fits here really well, it was on the Stars and District podcast, said by this human design expert and light language vocalist named Layla, and it went like, truth is a multidimensional, ever-changing energy. When we accept that there is no and could never be one truth, that's when we begin to expand into the awareness of our own multidimensionality. Let's go through that again, simplified. There are infinite and ever-changing layers to truth. And when we accept that one universal truth simply cannot exist, then we start to grasp the idea that we too consist of those infinite and ever-changing layers. So having this in mind, mimicking other people's journeys is like dishonoring your own life, detrimentally oversimplifying the majestically perfect nature of your being. And I know that I've jumped on that wagon before. Guilty here, charge me. And, you know, I've shared some things that would sound similar to the clickbait titles. That is one dimension of me. It is, you know, it is like one of my many, many, many layers. But as my awareness expands, you know, I shift as well. The dimensions change and the truth shows itself differently to me. But let's stop here again. What is awareness? Kyle, like, what are you even talking about? What does it do? How can I make it expand or whatever so that I can unlock the true simplicity of life and not the synthetic, oversimplified idea of it? Well, of course, I will not give you steps now, okay? But there are ways to discover your truths in a more organic way, you know, ways to build your awareness in a more organic way. One of which is asking yourself questions, questioning your motives, your intentions, reactions, feelings, instincts, or the lack of these things too. These moments of pause are what expands how you see yourself, your life, and everything in it. You practice this little by little, day to day, maybe even carve out intentional time for it to review and recollect your being. I, for example, have this designated Kaya time when I lay down and start talking to myself, asking questions about the things that keep spinning in my head that week. It sounds crazy, but it always works. I just get answers in my head for some reason. But this is, you know, if it's too crazy for you, the more natural one would be to find ways to stop and observe whatever is going on in you. You know, like meditation, for example, a very socially approved form of being woo-woo. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Because, you know, all jokes aside, at the end of the day, your awareness will grow from within, not outside in. So, first of all, you should figure out however you want to do that, and then just let it happen or make time to make it happen. Honestly, no tips, no advice. I shut up, except that I continue talking. You know, rather than expecting quick and simple fixes to our experience, and this is the main point, I believe our learning, studying, and exploring should be aimed at elevating our awareness, not on fixing, not on like whatever, elevating our awareness. And that does the trick of us moving forward on its own. You know, we don't have to figure these things out. Our awareness kind of helps us do it when we spend time on it. You know, our nuances will always make our experience unique, and therefore make the experience shared by others irrelevant, really. You know, of course, be open. Allow yourself to get inspired. That is amazing. But just never follow. I mean, okay, this is, again, not a tip, but like, just saying. Like, treasure that awareness of where you end and others begin, because that is like the purest thing you can ever have, you know. So having said all this about naive simplification of life, what would be a simple life? Like, to me, I'd say a simple life for me stems from a deep and profound trust in my life and myself. You know, not questioning it. All the complexity falls off as soon as I remember that everything is as it's supposed to be. But I would love to know what a simple life is to you. You know, maybe I would expand my awareness as well. If you have any thoughts you'd like to share, please leave them in the Q&A in the show notes. I don't really know that many of you, so please say hi. Let me know what you think, okay? But before we close our episode today, I'd like to leave you with some real life food for thought. This episode was actually highly inspired by one of my favorite books that I'm reading now. It's Antifragile by Nassim Nicholas Taleb. A chapter I read recently raised the chicken or egg-like question, what came first, learning or education? The answer seems obvious, but it also becomes kind of problematic knowing how universities market themselves. Does Harvard create geniuses or do geniuses create Harvard? When we think about it from this point of view, the truth seems obvious again, but the marketing contradicts it. Universities claim to give you the education and skills that will elevate you to the heights of the industry. While in reality, based on real-life examples we can find everywhere, what it actually helps people succeed, and by succeed I mean feel successful in their lives, is the way that people were even before they came to Harvard. That's number one. And number two is experimenting, failures, thinking outside the box, playing outside the lines, real life empirical lessons learned through trial and error. Let's also not forget the adaptivity and resilience you'll be able to build through all of that experience and lots of unintelligible nuances within and outside of your control, to name a few. To quote the author, structured learning likes the impoverishment and simplification of naive rationalism. That's easy to teach, not the rich texture of empiricism. So here's a sweet little journaling prompt for you, or a few of them. Reflect on your own education and learning experiences. How have they contributed to your growth? Have you found that real life experiences, individual studies, and your own trials and errors have been more valuable than formal education? Why is my accent shifting? How can you prioritize learning and growth in your life while also recognizing and valuing the importance of personal experience and experimentation? To sum up, you know, I firmly believe that everything that happens to us holds a meaning and a lesson, yet to see and appreciate that lesson, we need some of that awareness and a lot of trust in our lives. Otherwise, we become subject to whatever agendas and fears others hold. Such agendas, like what the Antifragile author pointed out, teaching birds how to fly. You know, do we really want others to teach us how to live our own unique, one-of-a-kind lives? Let's keep our eyes open for bliss, for a bright new direction every day, whatever scenario we're in right now. Because remember, we are the people who can build a brighter future by remaining rooted in ourselves and aware of our own soul. I hope this leaves you a bit more inspired and a bit more aware. It is much easier to find your own version of a simple life once you're aware of all the layers that you can take off. If you're wanting more, check out the show notes for more reflective prompts. Also, a quick reminder to click on a 5-star review if you enjoyed the episode. Thank you all for listening, as always, and until next time, bye-bye.